frail and but not nothing but dust. And as your children are gathered here from far away from home, some of them have not had an 8-hour sleep, not even a decent rest. So we pray that you would look beyond that and strengthen us for these final few hours. May something be done and said of such significance it can affect their lives and in so affects the lives of their people, their children, your children, Lord. So we ask your Father, your grace upon the hearer and upon the speaker. May you get glory tonight. May your Son be honored, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Okay. So, two things that I need to do before I end tonight. I need to read the quotes concerning who is the real Lamb, who is the real kinsman redeemer, who is the real sacrifice, because these statements will not be read to you or placed properly if it's presented from a oneness view. So I would do that tonight. But let's just to continue to build on what the fundamentals are and now to start to begin to formulate doctrines. Tonight we want to use what we have been taught by the prophet messenger. Notice everything that we have done so far was statements that he made.
Amen.
Right? These are just factual statements that he's made. But tonight we want to show that these statements are necessary here a little, there a little, to start looking at the major doctrines that come out from under that seventh seal. Alright? Now, one of the mysteries that must be addressed tonight or early in the morning is the mystery of water baptism in God's name.
Amen.
Right? Now, the stated facts confirmed and vindicated by the prophet messenger and the message is one, there is a Father and a Son. The Father, human family and redemptive name is Jesus. The Son inherits his Father's name. The Son is made Lord in Christ. The Father has always been Jehovah Lord. He has always been the Lord. And he has always been Christ, the anointed. When it says Moses esteemed the greater riches of Christ than that of Egypt, the Christ he was speaking about was not the Son of God. Was the one who has always been Christ, or as we know it, the Logos. Then we know the Son's name after the resurrection is Lord Jesus Christ. We'll deal with that tonight. The Father's name is revealed in the seventh seal is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Father, who is God Jehovah, has many titles. The Son's name is to reveal, here we go again, spelled it wrong, reveal the Father's name. The Son's title, what is attributed to the Son, is to reveal the Father's title. In other words, all the rose of Sharon, they placed it with the Son. The rose of Sharon is Almighty God. It is the perfume that is made so that the priest can become acceptable before God. The rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the Alpha, the Omega, the rock, the brass, all that you can think of concerning appellations, concerning is the titles that are there to identify the invisible God. And if you allow them to remain with the Son of God, then we are still looking with the veil, and the veil is not what we have need of now. Okay. With that being said, I want to continue and start looking at the doctrines. And so we are at number eight. So we're going to open that up and look at it. So this is one of the most controversial scripture in the last few years. Psalms 110 said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand till I make my enemies thy footstool. Now, I want to tell you this. You could be in the message for 50 years, 40 years, and not a single preacher will take that text. You probably will never hear them preach it. They'll never hear them address it. And if you try to address it. From the minute you address it, they say you're too God man or you're too Lord man. But you see, we did not put that scripture in there. Whoever wrote it was either too God man or he knew what he was talking about.
Amen.
They said the entire word of God is inspired. Is this inspired also? This must also be inspired. Therefore, we should not let man make us afraid of any portion of the word, any chapter, any verse. If it is the word of God, it's the inspired word of God. And if you say the Bible is a new book and that all the mysteries are revealed, and then I ask you, should we stay away from any part of the scriptures? Is there any part of the scripture that is off limits? I say to you, those who hinder us from going into our land, our promised land, and taking all of the land, is the same spirit that was on the children of Israel, that will not want them to take full possession of their inheritance. It's the same spirit. But I say we have the spirit of Joshua and Caleb. And I say that the land is given to us. And there might be giants there to prevent us. But for the bride, amen, this is her promise. We will walk the land as Abraham walked the land. Footstep means possession. And this footstep that we are making is every chapter, every verse, every book in the Bible.
Amen.
Because the book has been opened. At least that's what they tell us. So this scripture, Psalms 110, says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou in my right hand, till I make thy enemies thy footstool." This scripture is not speaking of two gods. Anybody who has any common sense, who has any gift, the minutest gift as a minister, knows that the two words written in the verse, let me show you, on Psalms 110, are not the same words. They are translated in the English, both words are translated Lord, but both words are not the same words. They are completely different words. Psalms 110 and 1, David wrote, "The Lord said unto my Lord," notice the two words. The first word is Jehovah God. The first word is all capital letters, and even our prophet told us, Lord, that has all caps, is the true and living God, Jehovah God.
Amen.
"Said unto my Lord." Now, David is calling, we read it this morning, David is calling Christ. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? So my Lord there is the Christ. Because he said, what think you of Christ? Whose son is he? They said, the son of David. And he asked them, well, if he is David's son, how come David called him Lord? He is David's son to be imputed as the son of David so he can take the throne of Israel. But he is really literally, let me say that again, literally by substance, not by imputation, he is literally the son of God.
Amen.
Born of substance of God. And to deny that is to deny God's witness of his son. So it says Jehovah God said unto the Christ. Because David interpreted Psalm 22. What think he of Christ? Whose son is he? They said David. And then Jesus quoted. How come David in the spirit said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my house. How come if he is David's son, David called him Lord? So the scripture is interpreted by Jesus himself. That my Lord means the Christ, the Son of God. And the Lord is Almighty God. There is no two gods written there. But they don't want you to touch it. They don't want you to preach it. Not they. Satan has anointed them to be afraid and to hate this scripture. Because if this scripture is revealed or expressed clearly, then the world, the message word might come out of Trinity, oneness. So, let us look at what this verse really means. Remember I told you, today, tonight, we are going to look at how this, that we've been taught the last 2 days by the prophet messenger, these statements of facts, these fundamentals about our Godhead, now we are looking at how we can use them to formulate doctrine. And if you have doctrine right, your conduct will be right. And your order will be right. These two lords are not the same Hebrew word. The Lord is Jehovah, the one true God. My Lord is not the name of the one true God. Or here, my Lord here refers to Jesus, the Son of God, after his resurrection. Not before his resurrection. So when David said, the Lord said unto my Lord, David is not seeing that scripture while Jesus is walking on the earth. Because while he's walking on the earth, he is not the Lord. He is not the Lord. He is a mighty prophet. But he is not the Lord. And from the time he was born until the time of the Jordan River, he was not the Christ either, because he was not anointed until the Jordan River. Amen. He was born Jesus, he became Christ at the Jordan River, and he became Lord at his resurrection.
Amen.
Notice now, the God of our Father raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hung on a tree. Him God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. Notice here that God has raised up Jesus, see, and exalted him with his right hand. We know who the Lord is because it says right here, God. And we know who's exalted, amen, to the right hand is the prince. Notice, to be a prince means to be a lord and ruler of his people. Because David in the spirit saw a vision of the Son of God. Now remember, David saw a synopsis of Jesus' life. He saw him at the cross, on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? My bones, they stare at me. I'm encompassed with the bulls of Bashan. You know, they parted lot for my garment. He saw him on the cross. David saw him in the grave. I will not leave my Holy One to see corruption. Is that right? Neither will I leave a soul in hell. He saw him on the cross. He saw him in the grave. But what amazed David was after this man was dead, he was exalted to the right hand of God. No man had ever been exalted. No one from the dead had ever been exalted to the right hand of God after death. And that's why the prophet could say, oh, the mighty conqueror. Again. It says here now, because David saw a vision of the Son of God, Jesus, after his death, burial, and resurrection and exaltation. David saw a synopsis of Jesus' life on earth, in hell and in heaven. David saw Jesus sitting on God's right hand. He saw the Son of God, Jesus, as the greater king of the Jews than David himself. So he called Jesus my Lord. In the vision, seeing what he saw, he said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand. He saw the resurrection and exaltation of the Son of God. Watch again now. Jesus saw David. David saw Jesus, but Jesus saw David too. Jesus saw David in the scripture referring to him as Lord. Jesus then asked the Jews, Jews who do not believe that God have a son? He asked them this. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the Son of David. Notice, David saw Jesus and called him my Lord. And Jesus saw David seeing him and called him Lord. So Jesus now is looking back now, and he's saying, and he said unto them, how then do a David in the spirit of prophecy, call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. David in the spirit saw the Son of God, till I make thy enemies thy footstool. And if David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man asked him after that any more questions. So my Lord refers to Jesus, the Son of God, who rose from the dead to sit on God's, or God or Jehovah right hand. This did not happen to David. Because even Peter said, this same David is with us in the sepulchre now. So it could not be him. For David speaking concerning him. Acts 2:25. For David speaking concerning, who is the him? Christ, the Son of God. David said, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue burst glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer the Holy One to see corruption. Now you have two ways of looking at this. David is seeing, but yet this is exactly what Jesus is. Men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you, the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. His sepulchre is with us unto this day. So it could not be David. Even though these things came out of David's mouth, it's not talking about David. He foresaw the Son of God. Therefore, being a prophet, David, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, how did he see it before? Vision. He was a prophet David. That's why he made the statement, the prophet David. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. That his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So David saw that the Son of God became Lord, not until after the resurrection. That's important. This Jesus had God raised, and wherefore we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens. See, David is not sent to the heaven, but this Jesus did. But he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou in my right hand. Now what is he seeing? Everyone in the Old Testament died and went to paradise. Everyone died and went to paradise. This is the only one who died and got exalted to the right hand of God directly. Amen. Even in the New Testament, they all died and they are waiting under the altar. But this one went directly. Right after his resurrection, brother. Watch again. David is not ascending to the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Now who is my Lord? This is what we are getting at. We want to make sure that this is not talking about two gods. Not like the oneness and the message wants to accuse you of. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know shortly that God had made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So I've done put that down. If there is a that Jesus, there must be a this Jesus. You can't get them mixed up. That Jesus is the Son. This Jesus is God. Father. This is the Son. That's Jesus. That Jesus is the Son, which is the Son of God. And he is my Lord. Because he is made Lord and Christ. This one is the Lord. Nobody made him Lord. And he is the anointer in every age in the prophets. Therefore, he is Christ. Nobody made him Christ. He can make Moses Christ. He can make Brother Bill, Brother Branham,
Christ. See? But no one can make him Christ. He is the anointed. The anointed.
He's made Lord in Christ. Now let's make sure that the one sitting on his right hand is the Son of God and is my Lord. So let's look at the scripture and see if it's supported. Mark says in the book of Mark, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was raised up unto the heavens and sat on the right hand of God. The Lord said unto him, my Lord sit on my right hand. That's no problem right there, because it's identifying that the Son of God is the one sitting there. Peter said, who has gone into the heaven is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Were they not always made subject unto him? No. They were made subject unto him by a ministry. Now they are made subject unto him because of his position. By his position. God had anointed me to preach the good tidings, to heal the sick and to let the prisoners go. That's under ministry. He's anointed. But after his ministry, amen, when he overcame, he took a position as an adopted son of God. And was made Lord even above principalities and power. That's a different kind of authority. That's not the same. I want to show you this. That Jesus' own words confirm it. Even though he had raised the dead, even though he had healed the sick, even though he had cast out devils, he did that because of a ministry. He was anointed to do those things in a ministry.
Yes, sir.
But when he rose from the dead, he said, all power and all authority is given unto me. Why wasn't it given before? I thought the fullness of God had dwelt in him. But now he is in a position that God has lifted him up above the earth and placed him in a position of lordship.
Glory.
Completely different. That's why he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. After the resurrection. That's why David saw him. Call him my Lord after the resurrection. Not before the resurrection. Watch again. Acts 7:55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Even Stephen. Luke is writing it. The account of what Stephen saw. Here you have Peter, Mark, here you have Peter, here you have Luke, here you have Paul now, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand. Heavenly places. How can he set him on the right hand and when you say the Lord said unto my Lord, they say you are preaching two gods? You see what happened? They're anointed of the devil that blinds them. They are afraid of the truth, but they are not afraid of the error and the lies. Watch carefully. Romans 8:34, Paul says it like this. Who is he that condemned it? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, Christ is risen again. Who is even at the right hand? The one that rose from the dead is the one on the right hand. Also make an intercession for us. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now all of these scriptures speaks of the right hand. Who is sitting on it? I don't want to go as an overkill. Now, let's get to the heart of the matter. Let's get to the doctrine. We know these things. Let's look at the doctrine. How do these facts produce doctrines? This Jesus our God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God, for David is not ascended in the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down in my right hand. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know shortly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, the question is, why did God make his son Lord? Why did God make his son Lord? Why did he make him Lord and Christ? There are five reasons Jesus is made Lord. Jesus, the Son of God, is made Lord for five reasons. Now, God cannot have, there's nothing new under the sun. God has already made his sons Lord and Christ. This is not new. It's new because they are blinded with the Jesus syndrome. Christianity is blinded by the man Jesus. They have a syndrome about him. That when you say the word Jesus, everybody acknowledges that he is, but they don't know exactly. Everybody acknowledges something different about him. It's an awe about him, but yet they're all not saying the same thing. But one thing we're guaranteeing, they're all saying the wrong thing. That's for sure. Now, these are the doctrines. He is made Lord for five reasons. One, he's made Lord because he's head of the church. He's made Lord because he's a high priest over the house of God. And the house of God is the elect of God. He is the firstborn by rights and title. He's an overcomer. And he is king of the Jews. Those are the five reasons that he is made Lord. Let's look and see if it's in the Bible. He is the head of the church, the savior of the body. 1 Peter 3 and 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Is it okay for the church to call the Son of God my Lord? Is it okay for David to say my Lord? And yet not call him your God? I want to ask you, is it okay for my wife to call me, since I'm a husband, Lord Anthony? Lord Louis? I know some of you want to go get married right now, huh? You want your lordship. But just like they exalted you, my Lord and my husband, they can also put you down too. Did Abraham call, Sarah call Abraham Lord? Now watch carefully. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And thy desire shall be thy husband to thy husband. And he shall have what? Well, if he has rule, he is her Lord. He is her Lord. Over her. God has made the husband Lord over the wife or the church. Why is that such a big deal that he made him Lord? Remember, Adam was Lord in the garden over creation. Because he was the king of the creation. Let him have dominion. But Adam was not made Lord of Eve until after she was manifested. Is that right? Watch again. Ephesians 5:22. The wife submit unto your husband, unto your own husband as unto the Lord. If you make Jesus my Lord, you better make your husband my Lord too. For he is the husband, for the husband is the head of the wife. Head means Lord. Even as Christ is Lord of the church and he is savior of the body. Now watch carefully now. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject unto their own husband in a way. You cannot call Jesus Lord, sisters. Those who are hearing on tape and will get it. And then your husband is not your Lord. God will not receive it. You're calling the Son of God my Lord. He's the husband of the church. You are typing Christ in the church in your marriage, but you don't treat your husband as your Lord. It's unacceptable. It's hypocrisy. It's blindness.
Thank you, sir.
I'm going to make a lot of friends with you brothers, the enemies. The woman is going to kill me when I get out there. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husband in everything. Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Don't let those words tell you in all things. All things concerning to the church. All things concerning to the woman. Like you are supposed to take care of your wife in all things. You have to become all things to her. You have to be an intercessor for force. You have to be a guide. You have to be a teacher. You have to be a provider. You have to be a priest. You have to be her king. You have if you don't want to be that, she's going to find a neighbor to help her. So that's what you are not. He must have preeminence. And she must only look to him. See? So make sure you fix the kitchen sink. Yeah. Ephesians 1:22. And have put all things under his feet. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now notice, he is only Lord because God has given him that position. And had put him, who put all things under his feet? And who gave him to be the head of the church? The Father. Who gave him the wife? The Father. Who married them? The Father. Whose kingdom they're living in? The Father. That's a patriarch order. A patriarch order, the son don't go and look for his own inheritance. He don't go and live in another kingdom. Look at Isaac. He took his wife into his mother's tent. He was given inheritance by his father. His wife comes from his father's labor. That's a patriarch order. Notice, he has the last say over the woman. The woman or the church can make any promise she wants. She can say anything she wants. But if her husband in a day hears it, he says, no, it's not so. And I don't care how much he rants and raves, God will honor the husband. Watch carefully. Number 30, but every vow of a widow and of her that is divorced, wherewith she hath bound her soul, shall stand against her. Every vow and every binding oath to afflict the soul, her husband may establish it or her husband may make it void. If you are a married woman, the last say on any covenant, I don't care if you swear on a Bible, I don't care if you promise on a Bible, it matters not. The day your husband hears it, he could nullify it. Because he is your Lord. Watch carefully. And if she vow in her father's house, or bound her soul by a bond with an oath, and her husband heard it, and held his peace at her, and disallowed her not, then all her vows shall stand, and every bound wherever she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband had utterly made them void on the day that he heard them, then where whatsoever proceeded out of her lips concerning her vow or concerning a bound of her soul shall not stand. Her husband had made them void, and the Lord shall forgive her. Amen. This is God protecting, amen, his children, because you are his daughter, the type. And protecting his church. Because some of you went and made promises. I will never leave the Pope. I promise to give him 20% of my salary. And I will kiss the statue, amen, of Jesus 20 times in the Catholic Church. And I will pray the Hail Mary. And I promise it on my soul. The day Christ, for the minute your name is in the book, Christ already speak against that. That vow could never stand. He could break the vow at any time. He is Lord of the church. Everybody okay? So therefore, he is Lord. He's made Lord. He's made you. He is my Lord. He's our Lord because God has made him head of the church. But he's not my God. Watch again. He is a high priest over the house of God, therefore he receives the title of Lord. And having a high priest over the house of God, if the house of God is not stones and building, what house will you build me? God's house, like David's house, is his family, it's his children, it's his household. And if he is a high priest over the household of God, then he is Lord over them.
Sure.
For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the wife. And he is the what of the body? He is the savior of the body. And any time you mess up, even after you are saved, he is a high priest to cover you. Sure. Little children, if you sin, don't worry. You have a Jesus Christ, an advocate. In that scripture. Because the priest is also your advocate. Romans 10 and 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, notice, and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why? He's over the house of God, and you're confessing your high priest. He's the savior of the body. He's over the house of God. Watch again. Now, of the things which we have spoken this in the psalm, we have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty. We have such a high priest. But Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we? See who the house is? He's over the high priest. You see who the house? He's over us, the church, the bride. If we hold fast the confidence and rejoice in the hope firm to the end. No man maketh this honor. Christ didn't become Lord because he wanted to. No man taketh this honor unto himself. But he that is called of God, as was Aaron. God made him a high priest. Now you see. Amen. Thou art my son. Thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Who placed him over God? Who placed him over the house of God? God. Melchizedek placed him. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. God made him a high priest. Because he cannot take that honor on his own. He said in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, that's the second reason he's made Lord. The third reason he's made Lord is because he is the firstborn. He has the rights and titles of lordship over his brothers. Watch carefully. Deuteronomy 21:15. The rights of the firstborn. If a man have two wives, one beloved and another hated, and they have bore him children, both the beloved and the hated, and if the firstborn son be heir that was hated, then it shall be when he make his son to inherit that which he had, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which indeed is the firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he had. We are joint heirs with Christ, but we are not equal heirs with Christ. Do you get it? For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. Notice the words. The right. See, the firstborn have certain rights. And those rights have to deal with you, the other brothers. Watch carefully. Look at it. And their father gave them gifts of silver and gold and precious things with fenced cities in Judah. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Now I would ask you, who did the father give the kingdom to? Who did he make him heir? Let's go to the Hebrews 1 and 3. 1 and 2 really. Are we okay?
Yeah.
You're awfully quiet, makes me worried. Had in these latter spoken us in his son, whom he had appointed heir of what? By whom also he made the world. Again. He has translated us. He's given us the son the kingdom. And he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son.
Yes.
And their father. Okay, now see. Here. Also the firstborn is made Lord over his brethren. Genesis 27:37. That's why Paul said, Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ. By the will of God. It's the will of God that the sons of God serve the firstborn. I can't hear you.
Amen.
It's the will of God that the sons of God serve the firstborn. Because if the firstborn has the father's mind and approval and has come through the training, he becomes a pattern for all the other sons. What's Genesis 27:23? It's a long reading, so I can't shorten it up here and there. And he discerned him not. That's when his mother made the clothing, his skin like hair, to deceive his father, Isaac. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And Jacob, this is Jacob speaking, he said, "I am." And Genesis 27:25 says, "And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he had brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which Jehovah had blessed." Now he's going to bless him. "Therefore, God give thee the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine." There's the promise that alleviates the curse. "Thorns and tittle thou shalt bring forth. Cursed be the ground." But no. It's blessed now. It's the firstborn. His portion will bless. The son of prosperity will be blessed. Now watch carefully. Watch the promise. "Let people serve thee." And he's given the heathen for an inheritance. Watch it. "And the nation bow down to thee, because thou art the heir of all things and all people." Amen. In other words, let every knee bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is Lord, made by the Father. That's his blessing. Be Lord over thy brethren. I can't hear you.
Amen.
Be Lord over thy brethren. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. That word prisoner. Paul, a servant, means bond servant. By the will of God. You see, when we say Lord Jesus, we have something different in mind than when the one they say Lord Jesus. When they say Lord Jesus, they mean Almighty God. When we say Lord Jesus, we mean the one that God has called us to look at his pattern and to serve him and hear him. "Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's son bow down to thee." Now, this will not make sense to you, but there are many of the household of God. The foolish virgin also claim that they are wife, but they are not. They are not legal wife. The concubines of the Old Testament to the kings represent that they place themselves in the care of the king as the king pleases, but they will not share his throne. They will not be in the palace. They lived in a separate area for the concubines. See, even the denomination have their place. But he is still their Lord. "Cursed be everyone that cursed thee, and blessed be he that blessed thee." That's why Paul said, "Let no one in the spirit say Jesus is a curse." "Therefore, God had highly exalted him." That's exactly what the father is doing to Jacob, thinking it's Esau. He's highly exalted him above his brethren. "And give him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Watch carefully. "To the glory of God the Father." Don't stop there that Jesus Christ is Lord. Read the rest of the scripture.
Amen.
You hear them turn, make, you know, change the truth into a lie. When you edit scriptures wrongly, you propagate something that you want to say or believe. Like they said, Jesus said, no man taketh my life. I lay down my life and I'll take it back up. So they make him the resurrection. But the rest of the verse says, this commandment I have of my Father.
Yeah.
That's what the verse, that's the last, they don't tell you those last few verses.
Glory.
Now Esau has come in. The blessing has gone forth. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and take away thy blessing. And he said, is it not rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright and now he has taken away my blessing. What blessing? Firstborn. And he said, hast thou not preserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord. I have made him your Lord. And all his brethren I have given to him for servants. You cannot serve the Father without serving the Son, brother. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, does not make him God. It makes him fit the pattern of the firstborn and the plan of God. Again, Paul, a servant. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now watch again. Adam is a firstborn. Now, the law of the firstborn cannot change. God has made him to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and the cattle, and everything that's on the earth. Is that not the blessing of the firstborn? God has made him Lord. Was Adam made Lord in the garden? Well, why so bad? Was Adam the anointed one in the garden? Well, he was made Lord in Christ. I don't see the problem. God has made this same Jesus Lord in Christ is nothing new, friends. It is new because we did not know our Godhead. We did not know our God. And we were heathen worshippers while we were in the message. We just didn't know it. We were Baal worshippers in the message. We just didn't know it.
Amen.
Watch again. Let him have dominion over the special seer, the fowl of the air, over the cattle. Is that not lordship?
Yes, sir. Yes.
What is a man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man thou visits him. Thou made him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Is that not lordship? All sheep, oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever through the paths of the sea. I pass it through the sea. Watch now. First seal. And Jesus, his name on earth was Redeemer. Jesus. When he was here on earth, he was the Redeemer. That's true. But when he conquered death, hell, and overcame, he ascended on high, he received a new name. Now, what name did he receive? Here's what the prophet says. He was Redeemer. Jesus, his name on earth was Redeemer. But after he rose from the dead, he was no longer Redeemer. He already done that.
Yes.
It's finished, he said. Then what is he? He is Lord now. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. What is he now? Not Redeemer. Lordship. He's like exalted. Brother, I'm saying higher than the skies, higher than the heavens. Lordship. That's where he got that title, Lord. Remember, I told you, he did not receive the title Lord while he was on earth. You said they called him Lord. That is a word of respect. I'll show you that in a minute.
Yes, sir.
He received a new name. Well, what's his new name now? Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's his title.
Hallelujah.
You say, where was it written? Right in the scripture. After his resurrection, God has made this same Jesus, not Redeemer. He made him Lord and Christ.
Yes, sir.
So now his title is Lord Jesus Christ forever.
Hallelujah.
I thought you said your name was going to be another name, like Tom, Dick and Harry. Notice the words of the prophet. Watch, read it. Jesus. His name on earth was Redeemer. Now it is not Jesus the Lamb, the Redeemer. It's Jesus the Lord. It is Jesus my Lord. You get it? You have to watch. You cannot be thinking with your human mind. The word of God is made up of laws and concepts. That is what the word logos means. The word logos means concept. You have to find the concept. What it's speaking of. The law it's speaking of. The principle it's speaking of. Only then the Holy Ghost can teach you. Let me show you what I mean. Paul, the master teacher, he found a secret and he's trying to share it with us. He says the secret here is this. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have not received, let's read the 12th verse. But we have not received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Which things we speak, also we speak not in words that man wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. When Brother Bram said God and Christ is the self-same purpose, you better go back and compare where he says that the bride and Jesus is the self-same person and find out what does that Holy Ghost teach it for the word self-same. But which the Holy Ghost teach it, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, but neither can they know it, because they are spiritually discerned. And the Spirit only speaks in terms of logos. And logos means concept. Spiritual laws and spiritual principles. That is where your secret lies. Not in a quote. It's what concept is this quote speaking? Where is it in the Bible? What law is it? What principle is it? And if you can't do that, then you can't put it back in the Bible, then keep quiet. Don't use the quote unless you can put it back in the Bible, because you can make it mean something that it doesn't mean. You see? Not to be rude, but that's just the truth of it. See? Now hear what he says. And overcome. And I said, but when he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and overcame them, and ascended on high, he received a new name. Notice, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. After the resurrection. That's the reason they holler the way they do. It'll be revealed in the thunders. He's an overcomer. Therefore the prophet says, overcomer, receive new name. He's an overcomer. Therefore you receive the title Lord and name change. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Who is gone into the heaven and is on the right hand. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. When? After he resurrected. After he took his place. Notice again. He is king of the Jews. That's the third one, the fourth one. Why is he made Lord? Because he's king of the Jews. He's also king of kings. But God is king of kings. I have set my king upon my holy hill. Who has set it? God. I will declare the decree. Jehovah hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. For behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And Jehovah God, the Lord God is Jehovah God, shall give him the throne of his father, King of the Jews. That's why he's made Lord. You say, is that something new? No. There were kings of Israel before David. Watch carefully. Moses commanded us in law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob, and he was king in Jehoshaphat. Moses was made king of Israel. You just didn't know that, did you? Amen. When the heads of the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Joseph, being a type of Christ, he was made Lord and Christ over Egypt. Genesis 41:14. Thou shalt be over my house. Remember, Pharaoh types God. Can I hear you? And Joseph types the right hand of Pharaoh. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. And only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Notice all these stories are to tell us the truth. The Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Did he make him lord over Egypt? And is Egypt a type of the world? And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vesture and fine linen, and put a gold chain around his neck. And he made him to ride in a second chariot, which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee! And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Now, did not God say the same principle? He had exalted him and given a name above every name, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Joseph is Lord! To the honor and glory of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. And without thee shall not a man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. What is that? All power, all authority that God had, he gave it unto his son. That's what it says. And Brother Bam said, now Jesus is in the throne, is powerless. How many of you have heard him say that? All that Jesus was, he poured into his church. He said, therefore, he's powerless. If anything to be done, it's in the authority that he gave you to use his name.
Amen.
In my name, they should cast out devils. In my name, just use my name, because my Father has authority in that name. Listen, it is not the word Jesus that has the authority. It's not the sound of the word. It's the revelation you have of the authority God has given in the name.
Amen.
Calling Jesus without knowing the authority that name carries is nothing. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zephaniah. See, he received a new name. And he gave him a wife. I want to ask you, is all of that still true, that God gave Christ a wife? And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Notice, he's made king of the Jews. He shall cry unto me, thou art my father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Who is Christ's rock? God. See? And I will make my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. He made him Lord. Now I want you to notice. There are five reasons he made him Lord. I give you all five. Is it in the Bible?
Yeah.
But did he make him God? Oh. Well then the liars told us that, you see, he's made Lord. He's God. The Lord is the Father that said unto my Lord, the Son, sit down on my right hand. See? Now, why is he calling him Lord? Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. Now, so he is made Lord for five reasons. Do you believe that? So you have here now, he's made Lord. His name that is given, family name is Jesus. And he is Christ. This one is Lord. Jesus is his name. Jehovah of Yahweh. And he's Christ. This is the Spirit of God. This is Jehovah in flesh. It's human name. This is Christ, the anointing. All of these here is the same. But these here is not here. It's Jehovah, Spirit God. Jehovah made flesh. Jehovah Christ, the Logos. This Jesus,
this Jehovah, this Christ is King, Spirit, King, Theophany. Can take on many forms. I'm King, Jesus. He is none of those.
He is King, eternal, immortal, invisible. He is Melchizedek. Now, the Lord said unto my Lord,
you have Lord here, and you have Lord here. That is why no man can call Jesus Lord. Which Jesus are you calling Lord? This one. If you call this one, meaning this one, you just perverted the Bible. If you call this one and you mean this one is the same, you just forgot your Bible. No man can call Jesus Lord unless it reveals it. Is that what the scripture says? No man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost.
And that could not be said until today. Because Luther could not say that, but God interceded for Luther's ignorance. Luther was a Trinitarian, Wesley was a Trinitarian, Pentecost a Trinitarian oneness. But now when he got off the mercy seat, he was interceding for ignorance. For the age of intercession when intercession for ignorance. But now he's not interceding for ignorance because now the word has revealed it.
Amen.
You are accountable for it now, the bride. Okay, now watch again. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's a spiritual divine revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible said no man can say Jesus is the Christ only by the witness of the Holy Spirit. Brother Branham asks now, he's made Lord and Christ. Now if Jesus is the Christ, which one? Which Christ is he talking about? There's a Christ who is the Son of God. And there is a Christ who is Almighty God. Which one did Moses see and was led? Which one did Moses see and led Moses? That one or this one? You can't even call him Christ if you don't know what you're talking about.
Amen.
He's your Lord. No man can call Jesus Lord only by the Holy Ghost. And today you've got to be born again to even know that truth. The reason we have a revelation of Jesus as Lord is because there are many hidden meanings of the word Lord in the Bible. There's Lord Jehovah. There is Lord the Son. And there are great men, appointed men called Lord. All is the same Greek word in New Testament. So here, let's see if your Bible becomes a new book. Alright? Which one is this? The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Is that, which Lord is he talking about? That one or this one?
Because I'm just going by the fact that he said you can't call him Lord except by the Holy Ghost. So I'm just asking, that scripture is talking about this Lord or that Lord?
Which Lord is this in this scripture? Well, the answer is the Son of God. He is Lord over his brethren and Lord over all things according to Hebrews. The Father is accepted to be Lord of all things. So this is not talking about God the Father because God is over all in all. But he is proclaiming the Son that he has been made Lord. Acts 17. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with inscription to the unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God hath made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth. Which Lord is we talking about?
That one or this one? Now that Lord is the Father.
Now, you see, your Bible is not a new book if that Godhead revelation is not revealed to you. Again. Acts. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Right? The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Who is that? That one or this one? Alright. Brother Tony, I'm preaching on the rapture. What's your text? Oh, it's for Thessalonians. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Which Lord is descending from heaven with a shout? Now, if your ministers and your pastor never asked you that, never told you which Lord is descending with a shout, because they don't know. It's because they have oneness. They don't know. Anyone who knows anything close to the rapture knows that you have to know which one is descending. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Which one is descending with a shout? Who had Abraham body change message? Who came down and was a peculiar angel to Abraham? Him or him? Who talked to Abraham? Which one? Who tell the secret of Abraham's heart? Well, then this is the one that he sent to the shout, because he was here with the first and second book. The shout is the third book, the opening of the word, the message of Yahweh.
Amen.
Okay. Therefore, no rapture. They're not even close. You cannot be an idol worshiper and take a rapture today. Which Jesus is descending in a shout? Now, if you don't know, I want you to watch this message. How many believe the rapture message?
Amen.
You believe it? All right. You believe it. Watch the rapture message. Look how easy it is. Only for the bride. Watch it. Three things happen. A shout, a voice, a trump has to happen before Jesus appears. So which one? Before Jesus appeared, which one? Before which Jesus appeared? There must be a short voice and short. Before which Jesus appears?
This one?
Yes.
Because God came in the form of a man before the promised son appeared to Sarah and Abraham. Because they cannot receive this son in the body they had. It has to be changed.
Yes, sir.
To receive the promised son. Who appeared before the promised son?
So, shout, voice, and trump has to happen before he appears. Because the shout will take care of the living, the voice will take care of the dead. And he is meeting the living and the dead. He's not just meeting the living. He meets them in the air, the living and the dead. Right? Now, watch Brother Branham carefully. Jesus does all three of them when he's descending. Which Jesus you said did the shout?
This one?
Yes.
So who is doing all three as he descends? This Jesus is doing all these three while he's descending before this one appears.
Yep.
That's a rapture message. Who could take a rapture and God hides it like that?
Amen.
That's a statement. A shout, what is it? It's a message going forth. First, the living bread of life. Now, God has always doing things. He never changes his policy. He never changes. He's the unchanging God. In Amos, he said he would do nothing on the earth first. He revealed his secret on his servant and prophet. So these seven thunders, this shout that he's coming down with, has to be coming through a prophet. And if it's coming through a prophet, it means Elohim in the form of a prophet is revealing. So there's a Jesus that descends with short voice and trump, and he does that before Jesus the Son appears. So now you know, you got to know that it was Jesus in Jesus. Do you know that quote very well? Well, now you know how to use it. It's not just a good quote. It's not just a good quote. It's power. Which Jesus are we speaking about? When we say Jesus keeps all his appointments. Jesus, calling Jesus on the scene, which one? Go away, Jesus. Let's take the word Christ. Christ revealing his own word, which Christ?
This one? Or this one? He said, my doctrine is not my own, my teaching is not my own.
Yes, sir.
That's what he said. My doctrine is not my own. My teaching is not my own. So then who's the Christ that's been revealed in his own word? God is the word that is revealed in his own word.
Amen.
See, from the title of the message, they are already wrong. They're already in error. And what do you think they're going to be with their people? More error. Error multiplied. Which Jesus, which Lord Jesus is this? Seeing it's a righteous thing with God to compensate tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angel. Which Lord Jesus is being revealed with his mighty angel? When he comes, he's going to come with mighty angel, or he's coming to meet you. That's him here. Acts 26:50, and I said, Lo, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus whom thou... Which one? Which one did Paul meet? Here again. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Lord, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Which Lord? This one. The Father. Paul, of whom I have no certain thing. Now let's talk about Lord being used as great man. Of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. Therefore I have brought him forth before you, and especially before thee, O King Agrippa, and that after examination I might have somewhat to write. Here a letter is going forth to a man who has a great authority, and they're calling him my Lord. Here the word Lord speaks of great men, and the Greek word is the same for Father and the same for Son. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? You see, he's calling Jesus Lord, but not Lord of his Lordship that God made him Lord. That's just a title of respect for a great man. That's like we say, Sir. Here the man doesn't even know who this man is. And he said, Who is he, Lord, that I may... See? And he answered, he said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Here, Lord is speaking about great men because he doesn't even know Jesus is a prophet. He just knows that Jesus was a great man, but he doesn't know he is the Son of God. So he doesn't know that Isaiah 7:14, that God has given a son, that his name is Emmanuel. He does not know that the promise of Isaiah 9 and 6. He does not know Deuteronomy 18:15, Lord, I grow. He just knows Jesus is a great teacher and a great man. And that God honored his prayer. That's it. That's all the man knew about him and called him Lord. And now he tells us, Jesus honored said, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh to thee. And the man said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Now, watch carefully. What does it mean he worshipped him? He is a Jew. You think he will worship the prophet like unto Moses? Would they have worshipped Moses? No. The word worship then means he honored him. He showed him respect. The way they did that word was that they would bow down and take the hem of the garment of the high priest or the king, and they would kiss it. That was a sign of respect and honor. Now, is this Lord is used, is not the same Lord that is used in verse 36. This is the Son of David, and he worshipped him means that he honored him because he is the Son of God. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Which Lord thy God is? He's talking about his Father. Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Yes. Now, Jesus know that. Do you think he's going to receive the worship? He said, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. He won't even let that pass. He said, Not I that do the work of my Father. My Father is greater than I. How can he take it? See, we are blinded by the Jesus syndrome, the oneness syndrome. And Mary said, My soul magnified the Lord, and my spirit rejoiced in God my Savior. Which Lord did she magnify? Two parts of her body, her soul, because you are supposed to love the Lord and serve the Lord all thy heart, all thy mind, and all thy soul. Speaking of the Father, the Son wasn't even born yet.
So this word is not the Son at all. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple at the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which spoken by Paul. Now, whose heart the Lord opened? Who is that? Who opened her heart? Jesus, the Son of God? Can Jesus give revelation? Revelation come from who?
God.
So you cannot call Jesus Lord without a revelation. Your own Bible is giving you a challenge on who you are talking about. And again they have heard that it has been said unto the Lord, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thy oath. Which Lord? See, the Father. All right. Okay. Can we take about 10 minutes before we start again? Let's take about 10 minutes because the next one is going to deal with water baptism, and I think it's better that we do that. Okay? All right, so 10 minutes.